background, blurred reds and white converge to form a series of slowly revolving discs containing letters which form the word Showtime. White typewriter lettering on a black background reads Showtime presents a Hyperion Studio and Aviator Films production. My Louisiana Sky. A tree stands against a pale blue sky tinged with pink. From its branch swings an empty wooden swing. Juliette Lewis. A red-earthed vegetable garden in warm, lazy sunshine. Kelsey Keel. Red peppers and flowers nod gently in the breeze. Amongst muted washing drying on a line is pegged a scarlet bonnet, a homestead beyond. Dappled sunshine falls on a rusted blue Chevy pickup truck by the side of the road. Amelia Campbell, Chris Owens, Karen Robinson, Michael Serra, and Shirley Knight. A rusting handplough lies abandoned amongst long grass. A wooden wheelbarrow lies in the shade of the trees. Casting by Beth Klein, Diane Kerbel, CDC, line producer Margot Lulick. A seat swings on a veranda by a lake. Water ripples against an old wooden jetty amongst reeds, russet in the evening light. Music by Maeder. Twilight and an unlit suspended lamp sways on the veranda. Rain cascades steadily over its roof. Edited by Paul Dixon, ACE. Production designer Doug McCulloch. The veranda of the homestead lies deserted under the stormy sky. Director of Photography Gavin Smith. Executive Producers Dante Di Loreto. Anthony Edwards, William Carroll, Tom Willite. Rain drips through the roof of the hen coop. A young girl, her blonde hair in two plaits, monotonously collects eggs.
It had been the worst summer of my entire life. Granny received this order of 2 dozen chicks the very day I finished sixth grade. Most folks think that baby chicks are cute and fluffy. Whether or not they bite, which seems impossible, I know, but they do it somehow, the little devils. They pick and peck and hurt. They make you bleed.
Rubbing her pecked hand, Tiger looks up, empties feed from her bucket, then hastens out into the rain, the bucket over her head. Based on My Louisiana Sky by Kimberly Willis Holt, screenplay by Anna Sandor. Tiger goes through the gate to the enclosure, secures the catch, then runs down the muddy track. Directed by Adam Arkin. Tiger enters the kitchen.
There you are.
A homely woman in a red checked dress.
About time you got back. You had a lot to do before your daddy gets home.
Yes, ma'am.
The girl winces as she washes.
Okay, I've done 10 of them, Mama.
A childlike woman's peeling at the table.
Is the birthday cake ready yet?
Corinna, you've asked me that 5 times in the last 20 minutes.
Sorry, Mom.
Tiger can finish the potatoes. You go on upstairs, wash your face. You got chocolate around your mouth.
Yes, ma'am. Tiger, we're going to play pin the tail on the donkey?
Not now, Mama. Maybe after supper.
Tiger takes over.
Like I said, the summer was not getting off to an auspicious start. My granny taught me that word. As far back as I can remember, she taught me a word a day. Auspicious was one of my favorites at the time.
After you finish, you better check on them pigs. Looks to me like Homer's off his feed.
Yes, ma'am.
Of course, I was only 12 then, and there was a whole lot of things I didn't understand about the world the way I do now that I'm 13.
Oh, Corinna!
Yes, Mom?
You put on your party dress and bring down some ribbons. I'll fix your hair real nice.
Okay. It was my granny's birthday, and we were preparing for a celebration. Nothing too exciting, mind you, although I was looking forward to that chocolate cake.
Plain Corinna carefully places a single candle.
Oh, it looks really good, Corinna.
I got a present for you, Ma.
With nervous excitement, she gets a folded piece of paper hidden behind jars on the dresser and unfolds it.
Did you picture? Oh. See, it's you and me and Dora Kay when we was little.
I almost forgot about Dora Kay, seeing as how she's not here.
Corinna waits expectantly.
It's really nice, Corinna.
Lonnie!
Corinna runs out into the sun-dappled yard and towards a grey pickup truck pulling up.
Lonnie! You're
home!
A young man gets out and she kisses him full on the mouth.
Come inside, we got cake.
Mr. Thompson gave him some of his special camellias for your mom's birthday.
They're so pretty. That's gonna be a surprise, Lonnie. Come on, we got a surprise for mom.
They head up towards the veranda, Karenna happily carrying the potted camellia. The man opens the mosquito screen. Karenna peeps out from the plant.
Look, Ma! Look what Lonnie brought you.
Oh, how lovely. Oh, camellias, ain't they?
Louisiana lady camellias. The only ones in the whole world. Miss Thompson said I could bring them home for your special day, Miss Jewel.
Well, thank you, Lonnie.
Mm-hmm. Sit down, Daddy. We've got a delicious meal for this auspicious occasion.
Happy birthday to you.
It's dark outside. In the house, the family all sit at the table.
Happy birthday, dear Mama. Happy birthday to you.
She blows out her candle. Everyone claps. Tiger fills a bucket from the water pump.
Saturday morning after a week of rain, the sun finally came out again. But my life still seemed to have a cloud over it. Dull, dull, dull.
She looks up at an approaching red and white saloon.
Then Aunt Dora Kay came to visit and everything changed.
In dungarees, Tiger gazes bucket in hand. She puts down her bucket.
Aunt Dora Kay!
An elegant young woman in 50s dress.
Hi, sugar.
Tiger embraces her.
Goodness. Tiger, Aunt Parker, let me get a look at you. You are growing up into such a young lady.
What are you doing here?
Well, I couldn't miss your granny's birthday, could I now?
Karenna rushes to embrace her.
Whoa, you almost knocked me over. Hi.
Oh, goodness. You're as pretty as a picture in one of them ladies' magazines. Oh. Ain't she tighter? Ain't she pretty? Yeah.
She sure is, Mama.
It is so nice to see you.
I missed you.
Welcome, Dorkay.
Oh, why, thank you, Lonnie. It's so nice to be here.
Grandma.
I wasn't expecting to see you. It's been a while.
Well, I thought I'd come for your birthday, Mama.
My birthday was yesterday.
Dorkay smiles. Grandma softens.
Okay, come inside before you get them city clothes all mussed up.
Grandma goes inside as the others exchange glances.
Should I get your bags, Dora Kay?
That would be lovely. They're right in the front seat there.
Dora Kay hesitates a moment, then grabs her sister's hand and totters up the steps, looking at fashion cuttings.
Oh, I like that one. Look at her hat and her hair. Her hair looks kind of like yours.
You have such a good eye, Tiger.
I like that one. Can I cut that out?
Sure.
Okay.
Tiger looks up bemused from her swinging seat as a large blue truck rattles along the track.
What's that?
Dora Kay feigns innocence.
Well, it looks like a truck to me. Are you expecting something from Mitchell's?
No, ma'am. It must be a mistake.
Well, why don't you go see him?
Tiger addresses the delivery man.
Excuse me, sirs, but do you have the right house?
For the family of Jewel Ramsey and Lonnie Parker?
That's my grandma and daddy. That's us. Would you like some iced tea?
What is that? What's in there?
Hold on, Karenna. You best take that box back. I didn't order anything from Mitchell's.
According to this here paper, ma'am, it was ordered and paid for by Miss Doreen K. Ramsey.
What'd you get this for?
I got it for your birthday, Mama. It's your present.
It's so big.
A TV.
You didn't have to get me nothing.
Tiger and Karenna hug her.
My goodness.
That's mighty kind of you, Dora Kay. It must have cost you a whole lot of money.
I whipped it.
How do you get the picture to come on?
You plug it in, Karenna, look.
Lonnie takes the flex resting on the Bakelite TV and plugs it into the wall socket. Grandma moves off into the kitchen with a weary shake of the head. Karenna follows.
Nothing's happening.
Oh, you have to turn the knob. Tiger, would you like to do the honors?
Yes.
Tiger kneels before the TV in awe.
This is the most exciting moment of my entire life so far.
She turns the knob. Her face illuminated from the TV's glow, Tiger gawps in wonder.
Right here in our studio. Here's Betty Furness with the trial of the washers.
Yes, tonight you're going to see a trial of four of America's...
A black and white washing powder commercial.
Including the laundromat, to see just how well they wash and rinse your clothes.
Not pleased, Grandma leans against the kitchen doorway. Dory Kay kneels, turning up the volume. Grandma sighs disapprovingly.
They're here to represent you.
Later, they watch a wrestling match.
Go get it, Tiger.
Tiger and Karenna mock wrestle. A silently angry grandma comes in on her way to the kitchen, brushing past the two as they circle each other or jump, hands on each other's shoulders. Dory Kay, her lipstick mouth pursed, watches her, then decides to follow. In the kitchen, Grandma sits at the table. Ham-fistedly cutting peeled potatoes, she glances up, then returns to her task, tight-lipped. Dory Kay moves to the sink, sipping from a tumbler.
You spent too much.
Dory Kay turns wearily, hands on hips, watching her mother.
I was trying to get you something nice for your birthday. Something that the whole family could enjoy.
We sure could have enjoyed a new toaster. Should be saving your money.
Well, I work hard and I spend sensibly.
I suppose it's sensible to have a colored maid that cleans your apartment and cooks your meals.
It most certainly is, Mama. I mean, most days I wake up at the crack of dawn. I'm not home until late in the evening. If I didn't have Magnolia, I'd never get a home-cooked meal.
I don't have a maid in my kitchen. I best cook my own stew.
Grandma puts the pieces in a stew pot.
Mama, why do we have to argue about everything?
Tiger, stop that silliness. I need you to help me here in the kitchen.
Dory Kay gives up and leaves the room.
Tiger, come on in here.
Yes, ma'am.
Passing Tiger in the doorway, Dory Kay sits on the sofa self-consciously and smooths a hand across her navy flared skirt. Karenna sidles up and sits beside her.
Want to wrestle?
They both crack up. Morning.
Okay, now you be good and you take care of your mama, okay?
I will, I'm gonna miss you.
I'll miss you too. Karenna, this is the last one, honey.
Don't go.
I'll be right back, okay? I'll see you real soon. Oh, honey.
Dory Kay gets into her car.
Now you take care of your mama, okay?
I will.
Karenna, you stop your crying. You're gonna make me cry too.
Bye.
Bye.
Grandma comes out onto the veranda, watching expressionless.
I wish we could go and visit her in Baton Rouge. Must be so exciting in a big city.
She goes back in with a roll of the eyes. Tiger and Lonnie in Sunday best stroll through long grass, then past cars.
What's the matter, Daddy?
Rain.
Mrs. Thompson said, perfect day for a picnic.
No, it's gonna rain. You hear them frogs?
No.
Gotta listen more careful. I keep telling you, Tiger, if you watch and you listen to the earth, it talks to you.
It's never talked to me, Daddy.
Not talk like how you're doing today, but it's different.
Different?
You know how spiders build shorter and thicker webs before a storm?
Yeah.
And grasshoppers, they chirp loudest when it's hot.
I reckon that's true, all right.
Them frogs, they croak real loud right before rain.
In gloves, boater and hair ribbons, she carries a picnic basket. He stops her and nods.
It's going to rain soon.
Tiger looks heavenwards.
Listen good, Tiger.
She lowers her head, listening. Her father watches her fondly.
Don't worry. One day you'll hear.
He He walks on holding a bowl of fries. Tiger bends once more, then looks heavenwards with a contemplating frown. Rain pours down a window pane. Tiger stands with other children in church.
Abby Lynn, when's your new swimming pool going to be ready?
Any day now, just wait. We have the sweetest new cat. My daddy says that I can keep her as a pet. I'm calling her Pansy.
We used to have a goat named Buttercup.
The others giggle. The preacher.
Well, friends, as the old saying goes, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Thank you, Sister Arlette, for arranging this impromptu recital. Your children sing with the voices of angels. And when those sweet voices reach heaven, well, I know that the rains will cease so that we can enjoy our picnic.
Amen! Amen!
Embarrassed glances are exchanged at Karenna's outburst. The bonneted Sister Arlie counts the children in with white-gloved hands, accompanied on the piano.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto
a boy with a baseball bat finds Tiger.
Hey, Tiger.
Jesse Wade.
Want to hit a few?
Nope.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing. Just giving up the game.
What?
You heard me.
Well, that's stupid. You can hit the ball farther than anybody in Saturn. Have you lost your golden swing?
Of course not.
That's it, isn't it? Tiger Ann Parker has lost her golden swing.
I can outbet you any day.
I'm not so sure about that anymore.
Where'd you want it to go? Name the place.
Right over there.
Tiger obliges as Jesse Wade takes up position with his leather catcher's mitt.
Hurry up, I ain't got all day.
He throws and she wallops it hard. It lands in the hen coop. A hen inspects the mystery missile. Tiger comes to pick it up.
But doesn't that make you want to play?
Nope.
What? Crazy Tiger? You got sunstroke or something?
Jesse Wade, a girl has to grow up sometime.
She plonks the bat in his hands and strolls out, leaving the gate open.
That's too bad. I could have been a hero.
As Grandma sits on the sofa knitting, the enthralled family sit on the floor glued to the television.
What in tarnation?
Fox.
The baby chicks!
Tiger stares in horror. Out in the dark enclosure...
Where's all the other baby chicks?
Parson must have got them.
Grandma spots Tiger alone, lost in thought.
You're mighty quiet, young lady. Do you know anything about this?
Yes, ma'am.
Grandma gives a long-suffering sigh, then waits, arms folded.
I'm afraid I left the gate open this afternoon.
Then I'm afraid you owe me 24 chicks.
That's fair, Granny, but I haven't got any money.
Then you just have to earn some. Starting bright and early tomorrow morning.
Tiger and Karenna travel in the back of Lonnie's rusting green truck. He pulls up at a house and Grandma beside him and the others get down. They're greeted by a man in dungarees.
Morning, ladies. Lonnie.
Morning, Owen.
Morning.
Best stay out of Shorty's way. He being one of his moves.
In a vegetable garden, a guy angrily hurls sticks.
Well, I best get to work.
Karenna hands him a bag.
Bye, Lonnie.
Lonnie, Miss Thompson. Morning, Miss Jewel. Miss Karenna. You brought a helper. How you doing, Tiger?
It's fine, Miss Thompson.
Well, it's my pleasure to have Lonnie Parker's daughter working here. You realize your daddy never missed a day on the job since he was 15 years old? Wish I had 10 more like him.
Where's Jesse Wade, Mr. Thompson?
Sleeping. Arlette thinks he'll break in two if he lifts a finger around here.
I sure do want to thank you for those Louisiana lady camellias, Woodrow. They're the prettiest things I ever seen.
Totally my own creation, too. 8 years in the making, they was.
Oh, well, I declare.
Got a man in Dallas very interested. Could make a nice little sum of money. Well, you ladies take care. Looks like it's going to be a scorcher today.
Oh, here, put these on.
Thanks, Mom. Oh, Granny, I'd die if Jesse Wade saw me in these things.
Well, you'll just have to take your chances, child, because if you don't, you'll be freckled as a leopard by the end of the day. Now, come on, let's get to work.
They don frilly-necked sunbonnets and make their way across the grass towards the vegetable garden. Tiger and her mother arms around each other's shoulders, Grandma carrying a bag. The three pick berries, filling their baskets in the hazy sunshine. They work steadily in this tranquil scene. Jesse Wade and his mother emerge on the veranda carrying trays. Smiling, she goes inside. Later, Tiger and Jesse Wade lie in the branches of an apple tree in the orchard.
Hear about Abby Lynn's new swimming pool?
Swimming pool?
No.
Jesse Wade munches on an apple.
That one's a carriage with three horses.
Looks like a dragon to me.
It's a carriage, Tiger Ann.
Why do you always have to be right about everything? It's not a carriage, it's not a dragon, it's a cloud, Jesse Wade.
Well, I don't see why you have to get all riled up about it.
Maybe because I got to work out there where it's hot in the 4th of July. And it's not even my fault, because I'm not the one who made me hit the ball at the hen house and leave the gate open.
I didn't make you do anything.
She frowns.
How come you've never done a lick of work in your life?
What's that got to do with anything?
Just answer me.
I was sick.
That's when you were a baby. The way I figure it, if you can hit a ball and run a few bases, you can do a few chores. You're just spoiled, Jesse Wade Thompson. You're a big mama's boy.
And you look stupid in that goofy hat.
It's a sunbonnet.
You still look stupid.
Get back here, you big mama's boy.
Tiger and Karenna burst onto lawns where girls are playing swing ball. A lad passes on a bike. Having come through a golden wheat field carrying books, they run exuberantly towards a bookmobile. They run up steps. The librarian looks up.
Hi, Tiger.
Hi, Miss Harris.
Hello, Karenna.
The books was real good, Miss Harris. Yes. I especially like the one about that nice bull.
Ferdinand?
Yes. The words was real hard, but my Tiger read it to me. She reads real fine.
Well, you go choose some new books.
Okay. I might want to take that Ferdinand book again.
Miss Harris hands it back with an indulgent smile, and Karenna coyly moves to the bookshelves. Time passes. Bespectacled Tiger sits in a corner absorbed in a book on her knees. She looks up to check on Karenna, who's sitting on the floor gazing at the book about Ferdinand. Tiger smiles and returns to her book. Outside, Abby Lynn and a group of girls, all in pretty neat blouses and full-skirted dresses, pass chatting about hats. They wear white bobby socks and their hair in ribbons. Tiger looks up from the steps in jeans and simple dark pink short-sleeved blouse. She closes her book and walks the length of the bus, glancing in through the door briefly, then watches the girls go through the back door into the adjacent Satter Elementary School. Inside in a classroom, Abby Lynn's holding court with her admiring friends. She turns to see Tiger.
Hello, Tiger Ann.
Hi, Abby Lynn. How's Patsy?
Patsy? Don't believe I know a Patsy.
Your calf.
That would be Pansy. She's fine, thank you.
Tiger?
Tiger turns.
Tiger Ann, I think your mama's looking for you.
Tiger, where are you?
A distraught Karenna bursts in.
Oh, I didn't know where you were. I thought you forgot me.
It's okay, Mama. It's okay. Let's go home, okay?
As they go off arm in arm, Tiger clocks the smirking girls along the dusty track. Karenna kicks a stone.
Your turn.
No, thanks.
What's the matter?
Nothing. I just don't feel like it.
Well, you kicked rocks when we came. Why don't you want to play now?
Because I don't feel like it.
Why are you mad at me, Tiger?
Corinna stops her.
What'd I do, Tiger?
Mom, why'd you have to go make a fuss and hugging me back there?
Well, did I squeeze you too tight? Did I?
Just forget it.
Dusk and a weary tiger's been collecting eggs.
That's all there was, Granny. One was broken.
Grandma's sewing.
Oh, that noise box is spooking those hens now. Your mama's spending too much time in front of that thing.
I know. Yesterday, when Daddy came home, she didn't even notice. I could tell his feelings were hurt.
Well, this morning, I asked her to help me hang up the wash. Know what she said?
What?
To the moon, Alice. Now, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. So I figure it comes from that noise box.
I don't see how anyone with an ounce of sense could like a dumb puppet show.
You mean anybody but your mama?
I didn't say that.
Your new word for today is prevaricate. It means to lie.
I'm not lying.
It also means to speak evasively.
Grandma beckons Tiger to sit beside her on the swing seat. She puts the sewing box on her lap.
Did somebody say something about your mama?
Not exactly.
Well, they either did or they didn't. Now, which is it?
I left her in the bookmobile when I went into the gym with the other kids, and she got scared and she came running to me all wild and crying.
And you were embarrassed.
I want to go to Abby Lynn's swim party so bad, but now I know she'll never invite me.
Well, if she wouldn't invite you because of that, then she isn't somebody you want to be your friend. Oh, Tiger. People are afraid of what's different. But that doesn't mean different is bad. It just means different is different.
I wish...
What? What do you wish, John?
I wish Mama wasn't different.
Sometimes I do, too.
They both look away. Night and Tiger's in the hen coop. She removes a hand from her groin and winces slightly as though in pain, then slowly makes her way out, as though half asleep, shutting the door behind her. She lifts a hand and stares in horror in the darkness.
Child?
I'm bleeding.
Did that rooster turn on you?
From inside. I'm bleeding from inside.
I'll get some rags. You got the curse.
The curse?
From now on, you can look forward to it every month until you're too old to have babies. And then, thank the Lord, it's over. It's the only good thing I can think of about getting old.
I'm ready, Ma! Ma's gonna show me how to make black bear pie.
What's wrong? I'm bleeding. I got the curse.
Corinna looks excited.
Oh, Tiger. Tiger, I'm so happy. I'm so happy.
It's a curse. Grandma just said so. It's a curse.
Oh, well, that's not true. It's beautiful. Well, I mean, it's kind of messy, and sometimes your tummy hurts bad, but Tiger, I couldn't have had you until I was bleeding every month. And having a baby, having you, why, that was the best thing that ever happened. Oh, I love you, Tiger.
Corinna gently strokes Tiger's face and hugs her long plait down her back. Dappled light falls on the veranda, where Corinna dances as she sweeps. Up in her bedroom, Tiger's inspecting her flat chest through a shapeless rust-coloured swimsuit as Grandma comes in.
I got a lot of work to do in the garden. I want you to be in charge of lunch.
Granny, you think it's unusual I'm so flat?
Child, you're 12 years old.
Not for long. Abby Lynn Anders wears a brassiere. Same with Annette Gills and Carlin Hudson. I can't even fill out this baggy old swimsuit.
My mama always said that trees bud at different times in the spring.
Well, spring's come and gone, and I'm still not budding.
You will be. You're on your way to becoming a woman now.
I can't really ever imagine becoming a woman.
Granny.
They sit on the bed.
Would you say I was pretty?
Pretty. Don't you go wasting your time thinking about that kind of nonsense. You're smart. And that's more important. You going down to the creek?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, it's odd enough for a swim, that's for sure. Just make sure that you're back in time to fix some lunch.
I will be.
At the Thompsons, Tiger knocks on the door. Jesse Wade's mother opens up.
Oh, goodness, that Jesse Wade is so forgetful. Were the two of you supposed to go to the swimming party together?
Swimming party? You ready to live for Abby Lynn's house?
Yes. I'm so sorry. Do you need a ride, Michelle?
I'll be fine. I can walk. I'll see Jesse Wade later.
Well, have fun, Tiger Ann.
She goes with her giant rubber tire.
I hate you, Abby Lynn Anders. I hate you.
Down by the creek, under an overhanging tree, Tiger lies inside her tire at the end of a jetty in shade.
Tiger! Tiger!
Jesse Wade arrives, a towel over his arm.
All over for you at Abby Lynn's. After a while, I asked where you were. When she told me you weren't invited, I left.
Great. Now everyone knows I wasn't invited.
Well, I'm sorry.
It's not fair. I didn't do anything to them.
Her pool's no big deal. This is much nicer.
He gazes at Tiger, who lies listlessly back, her eyes closed. Jesse Wade looks unsure a moment, then leans forward awkwardly and kisses her cheek. She turns to him unimpressed. He kisses her mouth.
Tiger! 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 Tiger!
She springs up and runs off, taking her tire with her. She sprints along the veranda and into the house. In the darkened living room, Karenna's glued to the box.
Tiger?
The advert pulls her back. The house is shrouded in dark. Tiger lies restlessly under her sheets, unable to sleep. She yawns and rubs her eyes, then turns to face the window, her face caught in the moonlight. She gets up. Grandma is reading in bed, resting her head on her elbow.
Come here.
Bleary-eyed Tiger comes in and sits on the bed.
Can you sleep?
No, ma'am. Granny, when was the first time you were kissed?
My goodness, I swear I never know what is going to come out of that mouth of yours. Now, what in the world would make you want to ask me a question like that?
I'm just aiming to find out about life. A girl has to know about these things.
Oh. Well, not times for sleeping, not for chattering. Come on, turn off the light.
As she moves over, Grandma winces in pain.
Here you go.
Tiger turns the light out and climbs in beside her. Grandma plumps her pillow, trying to get comfortable.
Tiger, I've been thinking about what we talked about the other day. About your mama being different. Well, the thing is, your mama may have a simple mind, but her love is simple too. It flows from her like a quick, easy river. Now, you may not understand that now, but one day you will. Turn over.
As she does, Tiger puts her hand up to her shoulder and Grandma holds it tight.
You know, when I was young, my best friend was Rowena Johnson. She was my maid of honor. Well, Rowena was flatter than a pancake. But all the folks, I thought she was the most beautiful gal in the whole county.
Grandma sighs and kisses Tiger's shoulder. Tiger kisses her hand, a dreamy smile on her lips. A new day, Jesse Wade finds Tiger eating berries.
What? Jesse Wade, what do you want now?
I was just walking. It's a free country.
We'll walk someplace else.
He hovers.
Tiger Ann? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have kissed you. Not so soon, anyway. I kind of sprung it on you.
Sprung it on me? Jesse Wade, I never thought of you that way. Why'd you have to go and ruin everything?
Well, it's just that I'm kind of mixed up.
I'll say.
Tiger and Jesse Wade run along a dirt track towards the house. They find Karenna kneeling in their vegetable garden, weeping uncontrollably over the inert grandma. Tiger stares open-mouthed.
Go call Dr. Randall. I'm getting my daddy.
Tiger runs off through woodland. Now approaching the end of a vast maize field, she calls over a wooden fence looking about.
Daddy! Daddy!
He turns from tending crops. Now they rattle along the dirt track in the rusting pickup. They quickly get out and head for Grandma as another vehicle approaches. Jesse Wade runs up to join them.
Doc is here. And an ambulance is coming too.
Tiger's father hastens up, but Corinna bats him away hysterically.
Don't touch me!
Dr. Jewel's safe.
Let me take a look at your mama, Corinna.
Give Ma some meds and make her feel better.
Dr. Randall checks Grandma's pulse, then reaches in his bag for his stethoscope. The others look on helplessly. Tiger watches impassively from a distance. As the doctor removes his stethoscope, Corinna looks anxiously at him.
Looks like Miss Jewel died of a heart attack.
Corinna bursts into fresh, grief-stricken sobs falling on Grandma's chest. The stretchered body is carried into the back of an ambulance, the breeze tugging at the white sheet. The party follow behind, Corinna clinging to her husband. Corinna hysterically runs to the van.
No!
Corinna!
Give me back my mama!
Corinna! Corinna, I'm sorry, we have to get your mama away now! Let's take her inside.
Corinna, restrained by the doctor and her husband, continues to struggle. Tiger watches the scene mesmerized, then slowly turns away down the slope towards the vegetable garden. Jesse Wade, by her shoulder, turns to watch her wander a little dazed. Tiger looks down to see Grandma's picked beans scattered on the earth. She distractedly puts them in Grandma's wooden basket, then picks up her scarlet sunbonnet. She stands fingering it thoughtfully.
Tiger?
Go home, Jesse Wade. Just go home.
He turns on his heel and runs. She watches the ambulance drive away along the side of a wheat field in late hazy sunshine. She lowers her eyes. The tree with its swing stands against the Louisiana sky. From a hiding place beneath the veranda, Tiger watches Mr. and Mrs. Thompson stroll through the yard with Jesse Wade and Lonnie.
So Lonnie makes sure that Corinna knows that if she needs anything, she just has to ask.
You take as much time off work as you like, Lonnie.
Yes, sir.
Tell Tiger I'll come visit.
I'll do that, Jesse Wade.
Jesse Wade holds out his hand and Lonnie shakes it with an uncertain yet grateful smile.
You take care, Lonnie.
Tiger watches through the slats beneath the veranda as the family get into their station wagon.
I wished I could turn back the clock and change things. I'd forget about that stupid swimming party. I'd forget about Jesse Wade kissing me. I'd help Granny more. I'd watch her real careful to make sure she wasn't ever, ever sick with her heart.
The station wagon bumps off down the road. It passes Dory Kay's red and white saloon. Tiger peers through the slats, then pushes open a hatch and emerges into the sunshine. Lonnie looks up from where he sits on the step. Tiger runs to Dory Kay and they embrace.
Come here, baby.
In the front seat,
oh, that's all right. It's okay.
Tiger, listen to me.
Listen.
You're gonna be okay, all right? I know it's hard. I'm here now. You're gonna be okay, sweetie.
Tiger rests her head on her aunt's shoulder as they stroll up the yard. Dorry Kay, in wasted yellow dress, carries a case and yellow-trimmed straw hat.
Dorry Kay, I'm real sorry about your mama.
Oh, thank you, Lonnie. Now, how's Corinna?
In bed. She put on her mama's old green nightgown. She's just lying there crying her eyes out.
Oh, dear.
She don't want to talk to me.
She don't want to talk to anybody, Daddy.
They come into the kitchen.
Dorry Kay.
Lonnie stands, his shoulder slumped.
What'd he do when somebody dies?
I don't want you to worry about a thing, okay? I'm gonna take care of everything. Honey, could you go grab me a phone book? And Lonnie, I need you to fire up that stove. We need to make a nice warm supper. There's enough food here to feed an entire army.
I'll get some wood.
As Lonnie obediently goes, Dorry Kay surveys the kitchen table laden with food. She spots Grandma's red checked apron over the back of a chair. She fingers it briefly, then promptly moves away. The funeral. The black-clad group stand around the coffin, laden with white flowers. Dorry Kay's with Corinna. Tiger stands without showing emotion in a smart white-collared black dress.
I didn't cry at the funeral. I had to be strong for Mama and Daddy, but nothing seemed real.
Amongst the solemn faces, only Corinna cries openly.
And the only thing I wanted to hear, no one could say.
A stone is thrown into the creek. Tiger sits at the end of a jetty. Jesse Wade appears.
There's a lot of people at your house.
I don't need you to tell me that. That's why I'm here.
He steps closer as she ignores him and hurls another stone.
I don't remember inviting you to join me.
Tiger, do you want me to just disappear or what? I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about you.
I don't really want to talk about this right now.
He sits beside her.
I'm real sorry about Mrs. Jewel.
The empty swing swings. Water laps the lakeside jetty. The reeds russet in morning sunshine. At the house.
Yes, that sounds perfect. Okay, will you just bill it to me? Bye-bye now.
Dorry Kay finds Corinna in bed.
Corinna? Corinna? Oh, come on now. That is enough, Corinna. Now it's time to get up. Lonnie went to work and... Tiger's got the house looking all beautiful. Now, come on, we have things to do.
Ma's dead. She went to heaven.
Dorry Kay sits on the bed.
That's right. Ma's dead. But you're not. And Lonnie's not. And I'm not. And neither is Tiger. Now, what kind of mother lies in bed when she has a child to tend to?
Tiger appears at the door.
I've been bad.
Corinna.
Tiger's gonna be angry at me.
I'm not mad at you, Mama. And you're not a bad mother. You've just been real sad.
Tiger sits on the bed and Corinna sits up, clinging to her. Tiger rocks her gently. Tiger sits on the veranda with her knees up as Dorry Kay sits at the kitchen table going through receipts with Lonnie.
Now, I made it real simple for you. There is the total.
I don't rightly see, Dorry Kay.
What don't you see, Lonnie?
How do you know how much to pay?
It's right here on the paper, Lonnie. It clearly shows the total owing.
Why do they give you all them numbers if they only want you to pay one of them?
She gives an exasperated sigh.
Now, I've heard you talking about how many plant cuttings you've made at work. How many eggs that the hens have laid. What is the difference between those numbers and these numbers?
It's just different, Dorry Kay.
Why?
Them numbers, when I look at them, well, they dance on the page.
They dance on the page.
She gathers up the pieces of paper, then scribbles.
My mom always said I couldn't finish my arithmetic at school because I was retarded. I guess that must be it. I could talk to Brother Dave.
Yes, you could. You could talk to Brother Dave.
Like when your mama gave Miss Eula all them butter beans last year, and Miss Eula made them calico curtains for Tiger's bedroom.
I'm not sure I see the connection, Lonnie.
Struggling, he rubs his neck repeatedly.
I could mow the church lawn one day a week, and Brother Dave, he could write up these here bills one time each month. You think that's fair?
Dory Kay stares at him, then smiles.
Yes. Yes. I do.
Alone in the living room, staring at the television, which is off, Dory Kay sits on a bench on a sidewalk, enjoying an ice cream with Tiger.
Mm-mm. Honey, do you like that flavor? I could order you a different one.
No, I'm fine.
You're a little thing like me. I fill up really fast, too.
What'd you want to discuss with me, Aunt Dory Kay?
Tiger, now that your granny has passed, things are going to be quite different for you at home.
I'm really going to miss her.
Well, I'm not just talking about that.
Oh.
Honey, your mama and daddy are the salt of the earth. They're sweet and loving and kind. But the most that can be asked of them is that they look after themselves. Now, I think with some help, they can do that. So I've decided to ask my maid, Magnolia, to come out for the summer and to help them out.
Oh, that's good.
Tiger, I've got an idea.
What?
How would you like to come to Baton Rouge with me to come get Magnolia? We'd stay for just a couple of days, and you'd get a taste of life in the big city.
But what about Mama?
Well, your daddy will be at home at night, and I'm sure Miss Eula can look in on her during the day. Oh, honey, your mama will be just fine.
I'd really like to, but...
No buts. We'll have the best time, sugar. I'll take you sightseeing. We could go to a fine restaurant or two. You need a little holiday away from all this. This is my present to you.
She places her hand on Tiger's and smiles. Tiger nods. It's late and the porch light hasn't been lit at the homestead. Corinna's sitting in the shadows, slumped against a sofa staring ahead. Dory Kay walks in.
Oh my goodness! Corinna, you scared me lying there like that.
She closes the door and switches on a light. Tiger, who stepped in behind her, goes to sit beside her mother.
Mama, why don't I turn on the TV for you? I bet a lot of your favorite shows were on.
It's Ma's TV.
I know she'd like for you to watch it.
Dory Kay stands over them.
Well, guess what, Corinna? You're going to have a visitor.
She steps around Corinna and sits down on the other side of her.
My maid, Magnolia, is going to come and take care of you. Won't that be nice? She'll treat you like a real queen, Corinna. She'll wash your clothes, cook you dinner, take care of the house. Now, the best part is... I'm going to take Tiger with me to go pick her up.
Corinna frowns, then lifts her head to look back at Tiger.
Are you coming back?
Of course, Mama. I'll only be gone for a few days.
Now, I need to call Otis's wife. Do you know her name, Corinna?
Willie Mae.
Yes, Willie Mae. I'll need to call her and ask if she has a place for Magnolia to stay in the colored quarters. Then I need to call Miss Eula. Oh, I hope she does not keep me yakking on the phone with all her nonsense.
She goes. Tiger strokes her mother's hair, then leans forward and kisses her on the forehead. Lonnie places a suitcase in the boot of Dory Kay's car and closes it.
Well, that's it. Everything's all loaded up. Bye, Lonnie.
So long, Dory Kay. Thank you for coming.
They hug.
Okay, now don't you worry, Corinna. I'm going to take good care of Tiger.
She hugs her sister, who looks subdued and tearful.
I'll see you soon, Mama.
Tiger, with her hair in plaits and wearing a straw hat, hugs her mother.
You're my special girl, Tiger. Don't you forget that.
He places his hands either side of her sweet face, then holds her to him. Lonnie puts his arm round Corinna as they watch Dory Kay's flashy two-toned car drive away down the dusty road. Tiger leans out the front passenger window and waves to them as they disappear into the distance. The car travels over dips and hollows along a deserted country road.
Granny used to say that wanting adventure was foolish, and I hated to disagree with her, especially now. But I was sure looking forward to this adventure.
Tiger gazes at Dory Kay, who's immaculately made up with full red lips and wears a stylish black dress and a black-brimmed hat. She glances at Tiger.
What? Oh, do I have lipstick on my teeth?
No, I was just thinking.
What about?
You don't seem sad at Aunt Dory Kay.
Sad?
Like Mama. Don't you miss Granny?
Oh, I lost my mama a long time ago. You know, it wasn't easy being your mama's sister, honey. I had a lot of responsibilities.
I know Mama can be a lot of work, but she can't help the way she was born.
Dory Kay looks thoughtfully at Tiger, who's now gazing out of the window, then she smiles.
I have so much to show you, honey. I think you're really gonna like Baton Rouge.
Tiger's face breaks into a smile. They drive on. Ahead of them, the horizon's tinged with orange as the sun sets over this peaceful land. Tiger rests her head back against the car seat and dozily looks out of the window. Finally, she closes her eyes and succumbs to sleep. Baton Rouge. Crofton, an impressive, stylish and contemporary apartment block. Dory Kay pulls up at the curb outside it and switches off the engine. She looks at Tiger, who's asleep.
Honey.
She gives her a gentle shake.
Honey, wake up. We're here.
Tiger sits up sleepily, looks out of the window and blinks.
So, what do you think?
I feel like I just stepped into one of them Hollywood movies.
Dory Kay leads Tiger into her spacious, well-appointed apartment.
Home, sweet home.
She looks around in awe.
Eat your heart out, Abby Lynn Anders.
And in the bathroom, you just turn on the faucet and the water comes out, as hot as you like. No trips to the well or taking a bath in that old aluminum tub on the porch.
Well, you know, last week on TV, I saw some lady taking a bubble bath.
Well, tonight, you can take one. Come on, let me show you your room.
Holding a black suitcase in her hand, Tiger follows Dory Kay into a pale cream bedroom. Feminine furnishings adorn the pretty room. Frilled check cushions and a teddy bear sit on a white crocheted bedspread. Table lamps fill the space with a soft light. Tiger gazes around.
Well, do you like it?
I love it.
Oh, good. I didn't know if it would be too much or... Well, why don't you make yourself comfortable and get unpacked, and I'll make us a snack.
Okay.
Okay.
Dory Kay goes, and Tiger places her suitcase down on the bed, her eyes caught by a porcelain trinket box on a bedside locker. She steps up to it, picks it up to examine it, then sets it down again. She opens a drawer in the locker and peeks inside, then closes it. She sits down on the bed and runs her hand over the crocheted flowers on the bedspread, then picks up the teddy and hugs it. She puts it down and, glancing around with a smile on her face, she opens her suitcase. As she carefully unpacks it, she notices something beneath her little piles of clothes. She picks up an envelope, opens it, and takes out a handful of $1 bills.
Daddy.
A busy street. Dory Kay and a fashionable Tiger step out of a boutique.
Look at you. Now you look like you really belong in Baton Rouge.
I can't thank you enough for all these fine things, Aunt Dory Kay.
Oh, listen, honey, there's something I've been meaning to talk to you about. I don't go by Dory Kay here.
Oh, you don't?
No, I go by my given name, Doreen. And I'd like for you to call me that, too.
Okay. I might slip up once in a while, but I'll try real hard.
You know, Tiger, you can really reinvent yourself in Baton Rouge. That's what I did when I first came here.
How?
Well, let's see. I used to practice all the voice patterns of ladies on radio commercials, and then I would study different fashion magazines for all the latest styles. And I even went to expensive restaurants and I would order some tea and I would just sit and I would watch the way people with class ate.
Dori Kay looks a little horrified.
I guess I shouldn't do that.
Sometimes I shudder to think what I looked like when I first came here. The clothes I wore and my hairdo. Oh, goodness gracious.
You're just about perfect now, Aunt Doreen. You're the most sophisticated person I've ever known.
Oh, well, thank you, Tiger.
She hands a red lollipop to Tiger, and as they walk on, she places her arm around Tiger's shoulders. Tiger's staring at an old photo of Grandma with two little girls. Dori Kay appears.
I made you some cocoa.
Wearing pink pajamas, she steps up to where Tiger's sitting on the floor.
This is you and my mama, isn't it?
Yes.
Tiger peers more closely at the photo.
Mama's eyes, they look different.
Different? What do you mean?
Like they're seeing more.
She looks up at Dori Kay, who switches the radio off and turns to her.
When your mama was younger, she knew every nursery rhyme by heart. One of my first memories of Corinna is of her laughing and reciting Jack and Jill. And then at the end, we would both go tumbling and tumbling.
Mama was born smart, like regular kids?
Dori Kay nods.
Yes, she was.
But what happened to her?
Well...
She sits down on an armchair beside Tiger, who's sitting on the floor.
When I was very young, I used to climb everything. You couldn't keep me on the ground. And even though Corinna was only 6 at the time, she would follow me around like a mother hen, making sure that I didn't hurt myself. And so one day, my mama, your granny, left the ladder leaning up against the old oak tree.
My oak tree? Where my swing is?
Yes. And so I went climbing up the ladder all the way to the top, and I grabbed hold of this branch, and Corinna came up after me, and she reached out for me, and she lost her balance, and then she fell to the ground. She broke her arm, but it was her head that got hurt the most, and the doctors said that she would never get right again. And that should always be like a 6-year-old. Mama never forgave herself for leaving that ladder out. And she never forgave me for climbing up the tree.
Why didn't anyone tell me?
Oh, honey.
Well, she joins Tiger.
Your granny didn't want to talk about it ever. And I didn't have much memory of it myself.
How'd you find out?
Well, when I was about your age, I was feeling really frustrated because I had to take Corinna with me everywhere. And it's a terrible thing to admit, but I was embarrassed by my sister. And so one day, I was going on and on about how unfair it all was. And Mama sat me down, and she told me the whole story. And that was the only time she ever talked about it.
She looks solemnly at Tiger, who studies the photo again.
Honey, I cannot tell you how much guilt I felt.
But you were a baby. It wasn't your fault.
Dori Kay tilts her head and smiles at the child. Next morning, Tiger steps out of her bedroom. She creeps warily into the kitchen where a black woman is frying bacon at the stove. The woman carries on without turning around.
Good morning, Miss Tiger. You want some breakfast?
Yes, ma'am. And if you don't mind, I prefer to be called Ann. I feel it's more auspicious.
Well, all right then, Miss Ann. And you can call me Magnolia.
Pleased to meet you, Miss Magnolia.
She's sitting alone at the table.
Where's Aunt Dori?
Aunt Doreen.
Working? She's a working girl. Well, I guess you could say I'm her working girl. Did your aunt tell you I'd be coming by today?
No, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Busy, busy. She's always too busy.
Tiger's about to eat.
Hold on a minute. You haven't said grace.
Tiger places her knife and fork down, leans her elbows on the table and bows her head into her clasped fingers to say grace. Magnolia watches her and smiles. Still in her pajamas, Tiger looks up at her, then reaches for some bread.
I guess you and me be seeing a lot of each other this summer. You people ain't fussy folks, are they?
Oh, no, ma'am.
Good, because I can't take no fuss either. I make one dinner for everybody, that's it.
We eat almost anything, except snails. I read in this book once they eat snails in Paris, France.
I don't have no snail recipes.
She opens the refrigerator.
I hope your folks don't get too used to my face. As soon as I can, I'm headed home. Didn't sign on for no long trip.
Tiger chews on her bread and looks up in white pedal pushers. A red and white sleeveless blouse and cool yellow-framed shades is reclining on a sun lounger in a garden. She reads a movie star magazine as a water sprinkler sprays the grass. Tiger looks round, then settles back to her magazine. Tiger sits up, looks round again, then gets up. Tiger lies on a sofa in the apartment, reading. Magnolia is folding laundry.
Can I help you, Miss Magnolia?
Mm-mm, your aunt pays me to do the laundry. If I don't do it, there won't be no chicken in my pot.
Tiger sits cross-legged on the sofa and looks round boredly.
You know, if you're that bored, you could go to the post office for me. Your aunt needs her bills paid and she's out of stamps.
Yes, ma'am.
Here are the envelopes. Now, the post office is up three blocks and across the street. You be careful, child. This ain't Tatter.
Sadder.
Sadder, Tatter, what's the difference? This is a big city. You don't talk to no strangers. You hear?
Don't worry, Miss Magnolia. I'll be right back.
She takes off excitedly to Magnolia's amusement. A broad boulevard in Baton Rouge. Tiger, fair hair in two thick plaits, saunters down a sidewalk. She pauses to peer in through the window of a hair salon. Holding her pigtails up, she studies her reflection in the glass pane, then decisively heads inside. Tiger and a stylist stare at each other eye to eye. Tiger's expression is blank. The stylist looks up at her.
You sure you want to cut it?
Tiger nods.
Well, do you have any idea how you'd like it cut?
She shakes her head.
I can do any of these.
She points to photos on the wall.
Can you do this one?
The cover of a movie magazine.
Hepburn, huh? I can do that blindfolded.
She places an overall around Tiger.
You ever had your hair cut?
Well, not in a fancy place like this. Granny always trimmed my hair on a full moon day.
What?
On a full moon day. If you cut your hair on a full moon day, it'll grow back faster.
Where are you from?
Sadder.
Well, Miss Sadder, don't go telling anyone around here that story.
Later, she turns Tiger's chair around to face the mirror and see her new short hairstyle.
Okay. You can look now.
Tiger gasps.
I told you.
She removes Tiger's overall.
Just like the magazine.
I really like it.
She spots Magnolia.
How much do I owe?
$2, but your hair's still wet.
It's all right. I can dry it when I get home. Thank you.
She dashes out of the salon and across the street to where Magnolia is glancing about her searchingly.
Miss Magnolia!
Oh, Lord!
I'm so sorry, Miss Magnolia.
Good grief, child. I was worried when you didn't come right back.
I'm so sorry.
I heard you the first time.
She clocks the hair.
What have you done to your hair? Your aunt is going to kill me.
I wanted to reinvent myself.
Magnolia casts her eyes over her.
Well, at least you done cut it on a full moon day.
She walks on, Tiger follows. Dory Kay, stylish in a business suit, is home looking through a file. Magnolia steps in with Tiger skulking behind.
Evening, Miss Dory.
Evening, Magnolia. Where's my niece?
Magnolia looks behind a wall where Tiger is hiding.
Honey, are you hiding?
Magnolia pulls Tiger out from behind her cover. She stands in front of Dory Kay with her head bowed.
Your hair.
What my idea?
Tiger looks up nervously.
I love it.
You do? Really? You don't think my nose looks too big?
No. You look very sophisticated. Doesn't she, Magnolia?
Magnolia looks at Tiger without responding.
I'm gonna go get ready before I miss my bus.
She goes. Dory Kay strokes Tiger's hair.
Well, this calls for a celebration, huh?
A very glamorous Dory Kay and Tiger are dining outside a plush restaurant by candlelight.
Guess what? I've decided to go by the name Anne, while I'm here anyway.
Well, goodbye, Tiger. And hello, Miss Anne Parker.
It sounds real nice.
It sounds really nice, Anne.
Really nice.
You're having a good time, aren't you?
Best time I've had in my whole life.
Well, you know, if you wanted, it could be permanent.
Permanent? What do you mean?
I mean, you could come and stay with me. We could fix the guest bedroom up just the way you liked. You could even go to a fancy private school with uniforms and everything.
You'd really like it if I lived with you?
Oh, yes. Very much.
Sounds great, but...
Oh, you think about it. Just consider it, that's all.
Tiger nods, then tucks into her ice cream.
Well, this was fun, huh? Girls' night out?
Do you have a boyfriend, Aunt Doreen?
Oh, I'm much too busy. I don't think any man would want me.
She daintily scoops ice cream into her mouth, then looks at Tiger.
Why do you ask?
I was just wondering.
Did your granny mention this?
No, it was Ms. Eula.
Ms. Eula? Oh, will you tell her the next time she asks that I'm doing just fine on my own, thank you?
That's what Granny always used to say.
She did?
Whenever Ms. Eula would go on the way she does, Granny would always say, "One thing I can count on is my gal, Dory Kay. She has a good head on her shoulders."
Dory Kay's eyes are lowered. Suddenly, she's overcome with emotion.
I didn't mean to make you say it.
You didn't, honey. You made me very happy.
Tiger's lying asleep in bed with an arm wrapped round the teddy bear. She opens her eyes and listens, then sits up. She gets out of bed, opens her bedroom door, and leans against the doorframe. Dory Kay is sitting alone in the shadows in her living room, weeping. She's holding the old photograph of her mother with herself and her sister Corinna as little girls. Tiger watches her for a few moments, then quietly steps back into her bedroom and closes the door. Dory Kay walks Tiger to the bus.
Now don't forget, I want you to really think about what we discussed.
And I have been, Aunt Doreen.
And if you decide that's what you want to do, I'll come pick you up at the end of summer, okay?
Bye, Aunt Doreen.
Oh, give your mom a big kiss for me, okay?
Bye-bye.
Okay.
She turns to Magnolia.
You're gonna be okay.
Oh, Magnolia, thank you for doing this. You call me, okay?
Okay.
Bye, Aunt Doreen.
Bye, Ann Parker.
She waves to Tiger, who's sitting inside. Magnolia climbs on and walks down the aisle past Tiger to the coloured section at the back of the bus. Magnolia places her bag in the luggage hold above the seats, then looks up at Tiger and sits down. Tiger looks out of the window and smiles excitedly. The bus travels through a cultivated arable countryside.
Even though it had only been a few days, it seemed like a lifetime ago that I had left Saturn. I was coming back a different person.
The passengers climb off the bus at a rest stop. Tiger and Magnolia sit at a table.
Is that going to be enough for you?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
Tiger munches an apple.
Sure is hot.
Uh-huh.
She bites into her red apple, then looks up at Magnolia.
Miss Magnolia, do you have any children?
I got a son. His name's Michael.
How old is he?
19 next month. Guess I'll miss his birthday this year. First time ever.
What kind of work does he do?
Oh, he's real good with his hands. Likes to make birdhouses for me.
She bows her head thoughtfully, then looks up.
You don't have a job right now, though. These days, the world is a hard place for a young Negro man to live.
What do you mean?
She munches into her apple, frowning, and waits for Magnolia to explain.
Your folks know you're planning to live with your aunt?
How do you know about that?
I got eyes and ears.
Tiger bows her head.
Well, I haven't decided anything yet.
Magnolia smiles. Tiger bites her apple and looks away. The bus travels on past fields of crops and homesteads. It drives slowly by a small town general store.
Sarah!
Lonnie, tall and slim with a kind face, is standing waiting on the veranda with his hands crossed behind his back. He watches the bus pull up. His face breaks into a smile as he walks towards it. Tiger gets out and runs to him. She drops her suitcase and they warmly embrace. They draw apart. He lifts her straw hat and touches her hair.
Don't worry, it'll grow back.
Magnolia steps forward.
Daddy, this is Miss Magnolia.
How do you do?
Welcome, Miss Magnolia. Thanks for bringing Tiger home safe.
Glad to do it.
This way.
He carries their suitcases and walks on.
Thank you.
Lonnie drives them home in his old pickup truck.
Sure, it's pretty. This place called Sarah.
They drive up a dirt track and past a postbox labelled Parker and on up to the house. Lonnie leads the others through a swing door into a neglected kitchen. Mounds of dirty dishes and bits of leftover food cover every surface.
Lord almighty.
It's not always like this. It's just on account of Granny dying.
Lonnie steps past them into a sitting room where Corinna lies dozing on a sofa. More dirty dishes are heaped on a table nearby. Lonnie sits down beside her and shakes her gently.
Corinna. Miss Magnolia's here.
Hello, Miss Corinna. I'm Magnolia.
Where's Tiger? Here I am, Mama.
Tiger hurries forward, gets down on her knees, hugs her mother, then sits back on her haunches. Corinna strokes her hair.
Your hair.
Miss Delaney, I'm getting tired and fading quick. You mind if I settle in for the night and start fresh tomorrow?
Of course not. It's been a long day traveling.
Is your name Miss Delaney?
Lonnie stands up and faces Magnolia.
I could take you over to Otis and Willie Mays now, if you want, Miss Magnolia.
They'll be right fine. Thank you. I'll see you bright and early in the morning, Miss Corinna.
She smiles, winks at Tiger and goes. Next morning, she cooks breakfast on the stove for Tiger.
Miss Magnolia, how'd you get here?
I walked. Ain't none but a little piece. Besides, you get to see one of the good Lord's miracles that way.
What miracle?
The sunrise. Pinks, purples, oranges. Good Lord sure knowed how to bless each day. What you doing up so early?
But my daddy asked me to help out at the Thompsons this week. That's where he works, at the Thompsons Nursery.
Well, your granny sure knowed how to keep a kitchen. I ain't here to hunt for a thing.
She notes that Tiger isn't touching her food and looks pensive.
I like your mama and daddy.
Tiger plays with a flower.
Mama used to be like other people, but she had an accident when she was...
I don't need no explanations, child. I told you. I like your folks.
Tiger looks at her and smiles. Her short hair frames her face in loose waves. Lonnie's pickup truck pulls up at the Thompson's homestead. Jesse Wade approaches.
Morning, Tiger.
Morning, Jesse Wade.
Jesse Wade, you're up mighty early.
Well, my daddy wanted me to help out with all the Louisiana Lady Camellias and all.
Mr. Thompson's in his car.
Lonnie, I'm heading out to Dallas. Be back in a few days. Keep an eye on things for me, will you?
Yes, sir, Mr. Thompson. I've been mighty proud to keep an eye on things.
Mr. Thompson sees Tiger.
Tiger, you sure do look different somehow. I guess you're growing up just like Jesse Wade. Seen a couple of days. Hi, son.
Hi, Daddy.
Mr. Thompson drives on. Lonnie looks at the others.
Let's get to work.
Tiger and Jesse Wade follow him.
I'll show you how to make cuttings.
Well, my, looky here.
Other workers trail after them.
Morning.
Hey, Lonnie, this here's a plant nursery, not a kiddie nursery.
Lonnie crouches down by some tiny cuttings embedded in sand.
Now take these here curtains.
A sprinkler waters them.
That's all? You just stick them in the sand? What happens to them?
They get roots on.
He stands up and gestures them towards a bed nearby. He bends down, pulls a cutting with a new web of roots out of the ground, and straightens up to show them.
Ain't that something?
Sure is, Daddy.
Well, we'll take the cuttings with the roots, and we'll transplant them in the liner shed. That's that old shed over there with no walls. See, that way, to get the sunshine, but they stay in shade.
He walks on with the cutting.
It's quite a system you got there.
Well, when they're ready, we'll put them in a gallon can, and they go in a hothouse. And when they get too big for the pots, well, then we'll plant them in the field.
I never knew there was so much to it.
Well, when we're ready to sell them, we'll go and we'll dig them up, and we'll cover the root ball with burlap.
I'm not sure I can remember all that.
Oh, it ain't that hard, Jesse Wade. I can help you if and you get stuck. Come on.
The two children smile and follow him. Later, Jesse Wade and Tiger sit side by side on the edge of a cuttings bed. One by one, they plant the tiny cuttings in the sand. As Lonnie tends to the camellias, he watches with a smile, the two kids beavering away under the hot sun. Sprinklers cast a moist veil over the large white flowers of the camellias while a worker wanders by pushing a wheelbarrow. Jesse Wade pushes his cheeks together with the heels of his hands.
Please, Mr. Bus Driver, can I come in?
He pulls another face.
Mommy, you made my ponytail too tight.
Where'd you learn to do that?
My cousin Vernon. He says all the kids in Lafayette are doing it. Why'd you go and cut off all your hair?
It's not all cut off. Did your daddy really ask you to come help out at the nursery?
Well, he did need the help. And I thought you might be here today. I wasn't sure if you'd be mad or not.
Jesse Wade, I'm sorry I told you to leave me alone. I wanted to take it back the minute I said it. It's just, you acted so mushy. I want to stay your friend.
Me too, Tiger.
Tiger leans against a tree trunk and shares a smile with him. Corinna, still in her nightgown, sits on an old cart staring ahead. Tiger stands on the veranda and watches Lonnie slowly approach her. Magnolia steps onto the veranda with a cup in her hand as Tiger sits on a step to watch her parents.
What happened to Mama?
Well, she had a nice bath. And then she helped me put some clean sheets on the bed. And then she drew me a picture of all the baby chicks you used to have. My, but she's a joy to be with.
They watch Corinna pull Lonnie to her and hug him. Magnolia looks at Tiger.
When I was your age, my mama laid down and died. And I had five younger brothers and sisters to take care of, and I done it. Your mama needs you. And you need her. And your daddy. Anyway, she's gonna be feeling better any day now. You just wait and see. Oh, Lord, all that laundry.
I'll get it.
Tiger jumps up. As the rain teems down, Tiger drops a laundry basket by the clothesline and quickly starts to unpeg the washing and drop it into the basket. She's gathered it all except for the three sunbonnets belonging to her grandma, mother and herself, which hang in a row together. Tiger looks at them, then turns, gathers up the basket and hurries away. The rain continues to pour down. Corinna sits at the kitchen table, solemnly sketching on a pad. Tiger rushes in.
Barn shut tight.
It's getting from bad to worse out there. Miss Corinna, I bet you could finish these here dishes by yourself.
It's all right, I can do it.
Magnolia eyes her pointedly.
Like I was saying, Miss Corinna, it sure would be a help to me if you was to finish up here.
I want you to get home safe, Magnolia. I can do them dishes.
Well, now I knew you could. Did you ask your daddy if he'd be so kind as to give me a ride?
Okay.
She dashes out. Corinna looks up at Magnolia with an open, innocent expression. That night, the rain has stopped. Lonnie steps into the sitting room with an unsettled air. Corinna's watching the television.
Look, it's a dress code.
A casual dress code.
What is it, Lonnie?
A dress code. A dress for travel.
Something's happening.
What is it?
I don't know. Since the rain stopped, I've seen birds in every tree around the house. Blue jays and robins and sparrows. They've been chirping and tweeting like this, trying to say something.
He turns the TV off. He stands in the gloom with Corinna and looks out through a window into the night.
That's pretty.
Lonnie's arm is around her shoulders. The golden hue of sunrise beats down on the red roof of the homestead. Lonnie, in white vest and dark dungarees, steps out through the swing door and onto the veranda. Looking perplexed, he stands there and looks out at the towering trees, where there's hardly a rustle. Later, he's driving Tiger in the pickup. They pass a herd of cows and a calf.
Oh, that new calf's named Pansy. Abby Lane gets to keep her as a special pet.
Lonnie looks preoccupied.
Daddy?
Lonnie stares ahead.
Why are you going so fast?
Gotta gather up all the gallon cans we can find and carry them over to the liner shed.
What for?
Something going on, Tiger.
At the nursery, Mrs. Thompson and Jesse Wade step towards him.
Lonnie, Jesse Wade said you needed to see me. Anything wrong?
Miss Thompson, I can't rightly say for sure, but it seems to me that something mighty big is going to happen.
What do you mean?
There were these birds that landed in our tree yesterday.
Birds in a tree, huh? Well, that's a strange sight, all right.
But there were millions of them, hooping and hollering. This morning, when the sun come up, they just left.
I don't exactly understand what you mean.
I reckon them birds, they know something.
Oh, yeah. They know if they kept it up, they'd have every cat and satyr after them.
What do you think it means, Lonnie?
I think a really big storm is coming. And the birds knew it, and the cows, too.
Cows?
The Andes cows. When we went past them this morning, they was all bunched together in the field.
Oh, I've heard of cows doing that. What, do you think that has anything to do with the hurricane they're expecting over in Cameron?
Yeah, I bet it does, Mama.
That hurricane's nowhere near here, Miss Thompson. We might get us some rain, but that'll be about it.
To Lonnie.
And what do you say we should do?
I reckon that we should get these Louisiana ladies safe, because Mr. Thompson spent a lot of time, too much time to see him just washed away.
He looks at her anxiously. Mrs. Thompson looks up at the calm skies. Shorty, the other worker, looks at her, waiting for her reply.
Okay, let's get started. What do we do first?
You're not gonna listen to him, are you? He's simple. He's an idiot.
My daddy's not an idiot.
Mr. Thompson left Lonnie in charge. Now you do what he says.
Well, I ain't taking no orders from no idiot.
Then you had better leave.
All right, then. Come on. Come on, Milton.
Mrs. Thompson looks at the other worker.
If you feel the same way, Milton, you are welcome to leave.
Shorty gestures him to come on. Milton shakes his head.
I'm sorry, Shorty. I had a family to feed.
Shorty mutters something, then walks away.
See what Mr. Thompson has to say.
Mrs. Thompson turns to Lonnie.
Well, let's get started. What do we do first?
Miss Thompson, if you don't mind getting your house dirty, I was thinking that that'd be the best place for the plants. And I reckon we can put down some sheets of newspaper so as we don't mess up your house too much.
Oh, don't worry about the floor. Let's get going. V.
They all set to work. Lonnie looks up at the sky, frowning. A wind rustles a Hessian cover over an open shed. Tiger and Jesse Wade take some cuttings under cover. Jesse Wade empties a bucket of earth onto a tabletop, and the two set to quickly potting each of the little cuttings. Milton and Otis set to carrying the camellias into the house. They chuckle as a solemn Lonnie passes them. Lonnie carries one of the prize white camellias inside and sets it down. Mrs. Thompson follows him with another one. She puts it on the floor and looks round at the sea of Louisiana ladies that fill the room. Lonnie walks down the garden path and notes the blustery wind whipping round the house.
It's time. Miss Thompson, I think Tiger best get home. Be with her mama.
Okay, of course. Now, I understand if you need to leave, too.
No, ma'am. Mr. Thompson told me to keep an eye on things, and that's what I'm gonna do.
You gonna be all right, Tiger?
I'll be fine.
Tiger, take the shortcut through the woods.
Okay. You want me to go with you?
No, Jesse Wade, you best stay here with your mama.
Hurry, Tiger.
Okay, I will.
Be very careful.
I will.
Tiger runs on. Her daddy watches her go while Mrs. Thompson hurries inside with Jesse Wade. As Tiger heads towards the woods, she sees the little calf, Pansy, ahead. He's all alone.
Pansy! What are you doing here, Pansy?
The calf loses its footing.
I better get you home. Come on.
She pushes the calf home. Abby Lynn opens her front door.
Come on, Pansy! Come on, Pansy!
What are you doing with our calf?
I was returning her. Next time I'll leave her to blow away in the hurricane.
What hurricane?
This one.
Where'd you get your hair cut?
In Baton Rouge when I went to visit my aunt.
Kinda looks like Audra Hepburn.
Tiger nods and hurries away. Pretty Abby Lynn sees to the calf.
How'd you get out, Pansy?
Corinna steps out onto her veranda and looks out as the skirt of her dress whips wildly around her. She paces about frantically.
This is wrong! It's wrong! She should have come home by now!
Now, Miss Corinna, she's on her way! Mrs. Thompson said she only left a short while ago!
A tiger is fast, though! She is fast! It don't take her this long from the Thompsons!
Well, being in the panic ain't gonna make things any better!
I gotta go look for her!
Rain lashes down on Tiger as she stumbles to make her way through the woods. Drenched to the skin, Tiger's small, light frame pushes onwards against the storm. She trips up and falls to the ground, picks herself up with difficulty, steadies herself against a tree trunk and battles ahead. Her wet arms reach out for support to the thin, sinewy trunks of trees. A tree is uprooted and crashes to the ground beside her. Rain pelts down. Tiger's body is bent forward, head bowed, as she forces herself onwards through the darkening gloom. She covers her eyes with a hand and feels her way forward with her other hand. A tree crashes to the ground in front of her. Tiger steadies herself to a trunk. Tiger looks around but can see nothing but lashing rain and a windswept forest. Corinna makes her way through the wood. Corinna makes her way forward, clutching her way from tree to tree.
Here, Mama! Over here!
Corinna begins to run in the direction of her daughter's voice.
Mama!
Corinna pushes forward more urgently now. Tiger struggles forward towards her mother's voice, then crouches down and calls out. Tiger peers ahead into the grey gloom. Like a spectre, her mother appears through swirling leaves and thick clouds of rain, inching towards her daughter. Corinna reaches Tiger and they cling to one another. The huddle of mother and daughter, arms entwined around each other, embracing and crying, comfort one another while the hurricane blows wildly around them. In time, the wind subsides and a desperately anxious Magnolia steps out onto the veranda. Lonnie's pickup truck drives up the dirt track towards the house, dodging fallen branches as it goes. Lonnie pulls up and hops out. He hurries towards Magnolia.
Magnolia, you all right?
No, Lord, no, I'm not all right. Mr. Lonnie, did you see any sign of Tiger or Miss Corinna on your way?
They're not here?
No, sir, they're not. Tiger never did get back from the Thompsons, and Miss Corinna, well, she just up and took off right in the worst of it.
Oh, no, I gotta go look for him. Call Mrs. Thompson.
I've been trying, or the line's been down for at least... Oh, my Lord.
A bedraggled Corinna and Tiger appear.
Hey! Hey!
Lonnie waves his arms and runs down the track towards them. Corinna, with her arm around her daughter, waves to him. Lonnie reaches them and clasps them to him. Magnolia steps down from the veranda, watches them and sighs. She gazes at the little family locked in an embrace. The family draw apart. Lonnie hugs his daughter, then kisses Corinna on the lips. Tiger looks up.
Let's go home.
With Tiger in the middle and with their arms wrapped around each other, they make their way to the house. En route, Corinna pauses and stares at the ground.
Corinna?
Look, it's Granny's bonnet.
She picks up Grandma's soaked red sunbonnet, which hangs over a branch, and clutches it to her with her eyes closed.
Let's go inside, get some dry clothes.
I can feel her here. I can too, Mama.
Tiger nods emphatically.
It's good. That's real good.
They smile and head inside. Magnolia.
Well, it's been quite a day. Quite a day.
Magnolia, Corinna, Lonnie and Tiger sit down to dinner.
As we sat down to dinner, a feeling swept over me. Sweeter and warmer than anything I had ever known. And despite all the pulled up trees and broken branches, I felt my head and my heart clear. I was home, and that's exactly where I wanted to be. I guess you could say that's the end of the story, but it isn't really. Life has a way of surprising you. Things always keep changing and growing, kind of like cutting your hair on a full moon day.
Grandma's bonnet hangs on a branch by a window through which the cozy scene is viewed, framed by check curtains. ITFC audio description by Joanna Myers and Aileen Downey was read by Amy Dallara-Beatty.
Thank you.